Okay. The name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our letters, the reading of our letters. It is 85, 86. No.
85.
Okay.
Letter number 85 to Mrs. Mazzari from Bari. My good daughter in Jesus Christ, do not get discouraged. Never lose trust. What I recommend is that you look at your crosses as many visits from Jesus, who brings you the life of the divine will, to make it rain in you and to give you all his love as food, to make you grow in his likeness within his arms, and to make of you such a rare beauty as to enrapture even himself. If you do the will of God, you will feel a strength in all your sufferings. You will feel an invisible hand which helps you, guides you, and does whatever you do within you. In fact, when one does the will of God, the work is more of God than ours. Therefore, I wouldn't know what else to say. Do the divine will, live in it, and you can be sure that you will make yourself a saint. You will feel the bond and the association with the divine family. What is theirs will be yours. So banish fear and fright, and all the most painful circumstances will bring you the kiss, the strength, the life of the divine will, embalmed by its love and joy. Tell good Carmela to have patience. Jesus loves her so much that he looks at her continuously, and with the brush of sufferings in his hands, he paints her to make of her a more beautiful image so that she may be like him. I send you my wishes of a good Easter. Let the divine will rise again in you. I leave you in the divine volition to make yourself a saint, that the earth may no longer be earth for you, but heaven. Pray for me, and greeting you from my heart, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yes. As we try to understand the gift of living in the divine will and to see how the gift works, we understand how the gift works through the teachings of Luisa, through her simple letters and writings. We can see that, first of all, Luisa, in this time of her life, she already understands what the gift of living the divine will is. Our Lord Jesus has formed her, and she's in the possession of the gift. The gift is already operating in her. And one of the things that we have to see is that this didn't happen from one day to another. It's a process. She went through this period of formation. And something that we see constantly in the writings is that the Lord is always telling her to be attentive, to never let her acts escape, and all these things that is part of the formation that she's going through. And now when she's writing these letters, 1940, she's already at the end of her life, very close to the end of her life. And at this time, I don't think she's even writing in the Book of Heaven, because the last entry of the Book of Heaven is in 38, 1938. And this letter, it doesn't really have a date, but the next one is from 1940. So it's around that time. But the point is that she already understands the gift of living in the divine will. And when she gives this advice to different people in this occasion, to Mrs. Massari, she knows what she's talking about. She already has lived this. She has experienced this already in her own life. When she's saying that every suffering, that all of this is like all the crosses are as many visits from our Lord Jesus. Because she herself, she already experienced this stigmata, even though it's not visible, because she wanted to have it invisible, because she didn't want to attract any attention to herself. But it was very difficult for her to be in the bed, even to lean her head on the pillow, because she had the crown of thorns. So everything was so painful for her. Even writing was so difficult for her, because she has the stigmata. So she sees in her own life all these sufferings, these crosses. She sees that in her own life as visits from our Lord Jesus, as many visits from our Lord. So here the challenge, and to put this in our own life, is not just reading these letters and, learning about the Book of Heaven and everything, then we forget about it. No, it's really to put it into practice and to try to see all the challenges that we encounter, all the difficulties, the sickness, the crosses, in whatever way they come from, in whatever they appear to us. They may appear as illnesses, as struggles, in whatever way you experience those. But the challenge here for us is to see those as Luisa sees those, as many visits from our Lord Jesus. So here is the challenge for us. Are we willing to see those things in our life as visits from our Lord, and then to thank Him, or just to begin offering whatever we go through, right? Not to despair. That beautiful prayer of Divine Mercy, Sister Faustina, that at the end says that we may not despair, but with great confidence submit ourselves to His holy will, which is love and mercy itself. So we know that the will of God is love and mercy in itself. So that love and mercy wants to operate in us. That love and mercy wants to operate in all of us. In that prayer, we see the definition of what the will of God is in its essence. And then when we listen to Elizabeth Garrett and when we encounter these letters and the spiritual advice that she's given, and then we want to put it in our in context in our life, we have to see that. Why? Because then Elizabeth Garrett says, all this, right, will bring you the divine will. It will, a little by little, if you start offering it, it will bring in you the life of the divine will. A little by little, you will arrive to the possession of the divine will. So basically, to use everything, not to waste all these occasions, that to make those occasions really as moments of grace. But here is, we have the choice, because each one of us have that gift that we receive, that God gave us, which is freedom, the human will. Again, we encounter ourselves with this difficulty to choose. And do we choose to use those moments as an occasion to praise, to adore, to glorify God so that we make ourselves saints? Or do we despair? Do we waste or we ignore those moments? So this is what Elizabeth Garrett is saying when she's advising, look those crosses, look, I will change here, perhaps crosses, to say, look at those occasions as many visits from our Lord. Why? Because that's material for you to arrive to the possession of His will operating in you, because this is what He wants, to make His will reign in each one of us, in each one of you. To give His love to us as food, Elizabeth Garrett puts it, to make you grow in His likeness. We have to go back to the Book of Heaven and to understand that when Adam was created in the union of the will of with the will of God, he still was growing in. When God says in the book of Genesis, let us make man in the image, in our image and likeness, he still had to grow in that likeness to become more like him. He had to be filled with that light, with everything that God is. In previous letters, we have seen that if we lack the space, then he will not be able to put everything that he wants. Basically, we will not be able to become another Jesus. We will not be able to grow in his likeness. We will not be able to be full of grace as the Virgin Mary. So this is the way. And what He needs from us is that consent of our free will, that He will change us a little by little in His own likeness. He wants us to grow in His likeness within His arms and to make of each one of us a rare beauty to enrapture us, to become basically another Jesus. This is the goal. And then this is from here we understand then what he will say in the Book of Heaven, that he wants us to be a living host. Right? Then Elizabeth Garrett says, if you do this, then you will feel the strength, the power, everything. You will see that even in your sufferings, you will find that content, that peace, that trust, That you don't know how, when, but you have the certainty that He will get you through that difficulty, through that cross, through that sickness. And that's what conquers Him also, that trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Remember that this is the message basically of the Divine Mercy revelation, which all of these revelations, they lead us into this, to understand the fullness of what does it mean to possess the divine will operating in us. So I would say even the letters of Luisa Vegarreta, we have to build upon each one of them, you know, in that simple message that she gives, in the simple way that she has to convey the meaning and what does it mean to live in this way, in the divine will, in the possession of the divine will. It's very simple. It's a very simple way of living. We don't have to make it complicated. Sometimes we make it very difficult, but in reality, it's very simple. That's why this gift is to be lived out in every single place. It's not just for the communities, it's for every single human being, because God created us in union with His will, and this is what we lost. So we have to go back to the point of origin. And the whole economy of salvation basically is pointing towards the recovery, the possession, that man will go back and possess the gift that was lost. So Luisa Vegarreta, then she says, if you don't do the will of God, you will fail, right? Excuse me, if you do the will of God, you will feel the strength, even in your sufferings. You will have that peace, that surrender, that way that you can surrender yourself to the Lord, your will, basically, to surrender yourself to the will. So this is something that we have to keep in mind also when we read the letters, that how do we apply this to ourselves, to our own situation? Because everybody is going through different situations, right? We go through different crosses, as we say, right? If those of you who are married, you have your own cross, right? I'm not implying anything, any names, right? But you have your own crosses. And every single vocation has its own cross and crosses. But the beauty of this is that even in those difficult circumstances, and even those occasions, they become an occasion for us. For what? An occasion for us to recover the gift. And I think this is really, in this way, we can really see how God brings good out of something that the enemy sometimes uses, right, to destroy the plan of God. So how God brings good from evil, and how we can use our own situation to go back to the point of origin, which is the goal. It should be the goal, because it's the goal of God Himself. When our Lord Jesus became flesh, when the second person of the Blessed Trinity became flesh, the final purpose, the final goal is not only to be crucified and to give us the sacraments and to establish the church. No, that's only the means for us to arrive to the possession of the gift that was lost. So we have to see this in the wider perspective as a whole. That what our Lord Jesus did There was only a means for us to go back to the point of origin. So if we understand that at the point of origin, this is what Adam and Eve possess, then it should be very clear for us. So then we start desiring this gift, asking the Lord to give us this gift, and then using those little occasions, our situations, as steps to ascend towards the possession of that gift. And of course, we know already all the effects that all these acts have in the soul, the effects of the acts done in the divine will. Those, we can say, they are basically secondary, because the first purpose is that God may receive the glory. That's the final cost, right? So let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 86 to Mother Cecilia. Fiat in voluntate Dei. My good and dear mother in the divine volition, thank you for your wishes. I return them to you from the heart. But the most beautiful wish I can send you is that your will may rise again in the divine will, so that you may take your place of honor in the whole order of creation where God wants us to be. My mother, if we are not in the divine will, we are without a place, without a home, without means to live and to become saints. If Jesus does not find his will in us, he does not find the adaptable material to make us saints, nor can he make of us his faithful copy. Therefore, my wish is that our will may rise again in his. In this way, you will give work to Jesus. Oh, how happy he will be, and you too will feel his peace, confidence, love, and full abandonment in his arms. You will feel safe like a baby in the arms of her mama. How happy you will be, and how happy dear Jesus will be. My mother, I cannot continue further. I am really sick and almost unable to write. Forgive me. Return my wishes to Sister Remigia for me. For now, I cannot answer her, but I recommend that she not think of herself, because the thought of ourselves removes the thought of God from us and takes away sanctity, making us grow sickly in good. My sister kisses your hand and returns your wishes. I leave you in the divine volition, and kissing your right hand, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, March 28th, 1940. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So, what is the place of the creature? What is that place of honor that Luisa Picaretta is talking about? If you go back to the book of Genesis in the Bible, after the whole of creation, God gives dominion. God gives dominion to Adam. I think it was last week that we saw this in the letters. He gives dominion to them and what they possess. Like, let me go back to this place. He was in charge of everything. That creation itself obey him, and Luisa Picaretta, when she talks about the dominion that excuse me that That place of honor. He placed Adam above the whole creation. And the Catechism basically articulates this very well when it says that creation was done for men, but man was created for God. So the whole of creation is our home, but we become the home of the house of God. We can say we are the house of the divine will. This is our place of honor also that belongs to everyone. And we lost that place of honor. So once the divine will starts reigning in us, right? First of all, in baptism, we become again the house of God because then the enemy doesn't have any powers upon the creature who is just newly baptized. And the creature who is in a state of grace, the enemy doesn't have any power at all. That's why the importance of the sacraments. Because all of them, they are channels of graces through which God is able to strengthen us through the grace that overflows, that flows and overflows through the sacraments. But again, that grace is available there, but not everybody receives, because everybody will receive according to its positions and according to how we want to take those sacraments. So the place of honor is, if we talk about Adam in creation, he was in charge of everything. He had dominion above everything. Then he lost that dominion in the person of our Lord Jesus. We know, being divine himself, we see that in the Gospels, nature obeys. He's God. Right? When the creature enters in this common union, this communion, which is a common union, common unality, we can say that with the will of God, then everything happens again. We can say the process is being reversed a little by little. How? Through each single act. Once we enter in this common union of the human will with the divine, then those crosses that Luisa talks about, those occasions and every single act and everything that is not a sinful act becomes an occasion for us to grow in the likeness, and is a way to reverse. So that process in our own person basically starts, is a reverse process. And little by little, little by little, we are going back to that place of origin. I'm not talking about physically, because the Lord didn't promise that He will give us paradise again as it was before in the Garden of Eve. But spiritually, this is what happens in the soul. This is what happens in the soul. So for this, we have faith. We have to have the gift of faith to believe that this is really and truly happening in us. You know, like in baptism, we see the children being baptized and we don't see the Holy Spirit entering into them, but we know it happens. We know that it happens in confirmation. We don't see, at least until today, I haven't seen any confirmations that a tongue of fire enters into them, into the newly confirmed. But by faith, we know that that happens. That's what happens. So if we have to have that conviction and that faith when we talk about the gift of the divine will operating in us. That this is something that is not visible to the naked eye. That is not visible, but that's why we need the gift of faith. And a little by little, this takes us to the place of honor that through which we belong. And this begins in baptism. So now, with the gift of the divine will, what happens is that we can say it really accelerates the process because now it's at every moment. And it takes the creature to the place that it was, that with every single act, the creature was supposed to advance in this way. And through this way of living, the creature allowed the divine to transform us in this way, in his own likeness, because he doesn't have any other way to transform us but only into himself. Because he wants to transform us into the highest good, and he is the highest good. He doesn't want to transform us into a tree, into an element. He wants to transform us into his very self. He wants us to be another him. So, and these are the occasions. These are the occasions that now, being in the state of fall, we have to use to go back to that place of honor. And without this, right, he cannot make a faithful copy of us. This is what Luisa Picaretta says. At this, you see the person of Luisa at the end of her life. And what do you see? You see an elderly woman that has been transformed interiorly into another Jesus. But exteriorly, what do you see? You see Luisa Picaretta. But interiorly, she's been transformed into another Jesus. What do you see in the Eucharist? Bread, wine. But after the consecration, this bread and this wine is being transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus. So, if we allow our Lord Jesus to work through us, right, if we give him the material, which is our will, and then the acts that the will produces, because the will produces acts, that's why it's so important to begin this process while we are here, because after we die, then we are not able to produce anything. What the will produces acts. And through these acts, the person becomes more like him. If there is this common union, the common union, the communion, the common union of the two wills, freely and willingly joining the divine. Then, as Luisa Picaretta says, then he is the one who does everything. Because it's the force behind every single action, every single act. Then it has the seal, right? When we say the seal of the divine will, meaning that it has the potency of God the Father, it has the wisdom of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and it has the love of the third person of the Blessed Trinity. So every single act now is being sealed with the image of the one true God, the divine, the Blessed Trinity. So it is true this. Then that's why it makes sense later when Luisa Picaretta, or our Lord says to Luisa Picaretta that every single act is like a coin. And it will make sense then if we see this in the light of the gospel when the Lord says, give to Caesar what is to Caesar and give to God what is God. So these acts, they belong to God now once they are in the common union because they possess the potency of God the Father, the wisdom of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, which is Jesus, and the love of the Holy Spirit. They belong to them. And this is why our acts, they belong to God, not to the evil one, because in our soul is imprinted the image of God the Father, represented by the human will, then the image of the second person, represented by our intelligence, our intellect. And then the third one by the memory. So if our soul is imprinted, is endowed, if our soul is endowed with these three powers that represent the Blessed Trinity, then every single act belongs to the Blessed Trinity, and every single act should possess, right, the wisdom, the powers, and the love of the Blessed Trinity. So that's why every single act really belongs to him. And when it doesn't have that, when we are not in that union, then basically we are robbing him of his praise, his honor, his glory. Right? And this is what happened. That's why then he, in the Old Testament, he had to give us the law. First of all, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, with everything that you are, basically with all your soul. And then we hear the seventh commandment, you should not steal, right? So in a way, we are even cheating ourselves because we are not growing in the way we are supposed, or we were designed to grow and to advance, because that element, that common union, the common union, right, the union of the two wills is missing. And as long as this union in us is missing, then this is what is gonna happen in us. We will feel the heaviness of sin. We will see, feel the heaviness of concupiscence and all of that. And what Luisa Picaretta is saying, once you enter into this, he's able, into this union, he's able to, a little by little, act by act, shape you, shape us into another of himself, into himself, basically. Right? And this happens spiritually. So for this we need the gift of faith and to really have the conviction. Mr. Picaretta says how happy he will be talking about Jesus And you too will feel his peace, confidence, love, and full abandonment in his arms. You will feel safe like a baby in the arms of her mama. How happy you will be. So, this is for all of us. How happy we will be. Because once we arrive to that conviction, then, as I said, once we arrive to the conviction that we can place everything, anything in his hands, that we don't know how he's gonna get us through, but we have that faith that we keep faithful in believing and doing our acts, he will get us through this, and this is what. This is what the church asks us to be faithful in that, to believe. So we have time for, I don't think we'll have time for the next letter because it's a little bit longer. Let's leave it here for tonight and then we can go through some questions, okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.